Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Nun Hey, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, the second line, the word Mina. The previous staff had discussed, when we look at something, do we look at it as it is currently, or do we look at it what it could be, do we look at it what it once was? Says the Gemara, from the very brisa that was discussed in the previous shiur, we could prove this point. Because we learn in the Brisa teaches us, Amar Belaza Barab Yosi, Abba Hayinaitel Esa Grigris Shemiktsaya, my father would take 10 Grigris, 10 dried figs. Miktsaya is the place where dried figs are kept, a cake like. Al Tishim Shemikala. It should be the Meiser for the fresh figs that were in the basket. So the Gemara makes its point. That we look at something as it was originally. So even though the actual figs that are being taken are dried, and they're being taken on behalf of fresh figs, but the halacha views dried figs as if they were fresh figs. Ella, so Shapir, this halacha could be very well understood, says the Gemara. Ella, Yamit Kamashahain, if we're going to say that we look at things as they currently are, Batzaluhu, so we have a problem. Dried figs are obviously much smaller than fresh figs. So if 10 figs represent 10%, 10% of dried figs is not going to be enough to be 10% of fresh figs. So why does the Brisa say that you could take dried figs and you will have taken Maisa properly if you don't look at the dried figs as if they were fresh and plumper? Answers the Gemara, Kiyasar of Dimi Amar Belazar, Shani Grigris, even if normally the halacha doesn't look at something as it was originally, rather the halacha looks at it as it is now, Hoyal v'yochel shulkan ulachzir al kamay shehein. Since figs could easily be brought back to the fresh fig state just by easily soaking them. So even if the halacha says that we don't look at things as they were originally, we have to look at them as they are currently, this is a situation where it's easily retrievable, it's easily reversible to its original status, and that's why we look at it as they were originally. Interesting machlokes rishonim. Machlokes Ramban and Rashba. When we learned Masechta Shabbos, a very big portion of the Masechta is devoted to shiurim, to the size of items, particularly when it comes to carrying. Because to be chayav for hoitzah, to be chayav for carrying, you have to carry something that's of a certain shiur. So the Rishonim debate, do we say the same concept that we just explained in our Gemara in Hilchos Shabbos? Meaning, do we say that something is not the proper shear, but could easily be reversed to have that proper shear, and you carried it, it's considered as if you did a malach on Shabbos. Machloikis Ramban, who says that you're not chayiv, and the Rashba says you are chayiv. So there's a beautiful explanation from Rav Nachum Zember in the Sefer Tetzos Chayim, explaining this machloikis. He says, when we look at the malach of carrying on Shabbos, there are actually two issues on the table. One is, as there is B'kol HaTorah Kula, a question of shiurim. Everything has a shiur. Machol Sasuris, we speak about a Kazayas, we speak about a Revius, we speak about shiurim almost on every daf of Shas. And carrying on Shabbos is similar. There's a shiur, what is considered carrying. But then there's another concept. There's a concept of Malachas Shabbos, which we always speak about Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah. And until it has the proper shear, it's not considered a malacha. Says the Tetzos Chaim in explaining the machlokes. According to Ramban, that says you're not chayiv, there are two elements here. Yes, as far as Hilchos Shiurim are concerned, our Gemara just taught us that if it's easily reversible to its original state, we say it has the shear. But that doesn't mean it's a malachas machsheves. And therefore, you won't be chayiv in Shabbos. The Rashba, on the other hand, holds that you have to just have the shear. And once you have the shear, you're chayiv. Interestingly, also, I saw the Chroidim debate regarding Machos Asuras, where we know typically the shear is for Machos Asuras a kazayas. Let's say you have a food, you don't have a kazayas for the food because it's dried out. But if it were to be reversed, you would have, if you would, like the Tzmukim and the Gregoris of our Sugyas, would it be considered you ate a shear of Machos Asuras? It's Machlokes Achroinim, the Chazanish is Machmer. Interesting tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer discusses a situation. There was a town in Europe that the question was regarding an Erev, carrying on Shabbos in that town. And one of the sides of the town didn't have an Erev constructed because it had a wall. There was a body of water on that side of the town, and there was a wall separating the town from the body of water. But this was Europe, and it gets very cold in the winter, and the water froze. So the question that was brought to the Chassam Sofer was, that's not a wall anymore, because a wall that's the other side is solid is not considered a wall as far as Halachos Erev is concerned. And the Chassam Sofer once came to visit that city, and he saw people were carrying. He said, it's not a problem, based on our Gemara. He said, since frozen water will melt, and our Gemara says that the Gregoris will come back, could be easily be brought back to the state of being a fresh fig. Water is even easier. All you need is to melt. You don't have to do anything. And therefore, he said that the wall can still serve as a side of the Erev. But like everything in life, there are two sides to the coin. Because there's an interesting Magen Avraham. The Gemara says in Masech the Brachas, it's the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, the one is not a Davin, one is not how to say a Dovish of a Kedusha in front of Tzoya. So the Magen Avraham discusses a situation where the Tzoya became very hard, and therefore it doesn't emit an odor anymore. What would be the Halach about Davening in front of such Tzoya? Magen Avraham takes a lenient approach, because right now he says it's just a rock. But if we're going to follow the approach of the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer takes this concept that our Gemara just established and applies it in all situations, you have to apply it in all situations, and the Chassam Sofer maybe would hold that you're not allowed down in front of such soya. That could easily be reversed if it's not hard. Continues the Gemara. Tana bana tarmen ta'enim al groigris. If somebody has a barrel of fresh figs, and he has a barrel of dried figs, you could take ta'enim on behalf of groigris, but makam shirigilim last some ta'enim groigris. In a place where a person, where there are many people that make their fresh figs into dried figs. Why? Because since it's, even if the person who's receiving it wants groigris, he could easily receive the groigris. Very fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to understand this brisa. Rashi says that this brisa is referring to Trumas Maisa, we discussed in the previous year, that from Maisa, 10% has to be given to the Kayin. The Shita has a very hard time agreeing with Rashi's approach, because the Shita says, if this Gemara is speaking about Trumas Maisa, we will have an issue, which was discussed in the previous daf, about Mabim and Maisris, you're not allowed to give more than the 10%, you're not allowed to give less than the 10%, you fall into a whole new concept, which it seems from learning the Gemara, that the issue that the Gemara is only focused on is the halacha that you're not allowed to take mice or truma min ara ala yafa. You're not allowed to take from inferior quality product on behalf of good product, but the other way you may. So that's why the Shita says that we're referring here to regular truma. Midaraisa, as we've discussed numerous times, there is no shear for regular truma. Chita achas peteris sakri. And for the issue here strictly, is this min ara ala yafa or not? And certainly, therefore says the Gemara, if you're taking ta'enim on behalf of groigris, there is no problem of menarah la yofa. It's menayofa la ra. And even as the Gemara just said, you're an individual that wants groigris, it's no problem, because we're in a place where it could easily be made into groigris. And therefore continues the braisa, for like groigris al ta'enim, but to take the meiser from groigris on behalf of the fresh figs, a field of mokum shalagilim, lasses, ta'enim groigris, even if you leave in such an area where the ta'enim are always made into groigris, you may not do it. Why not? Because you're taking minara ala yofa. Groigris is inferior compared to ta'enim. Interesting shiloh that I just saw. that the Tzitz Eliezer discusses in a tshuva. As we've been learning in these shurim, the halacha is when you take Trumas and Maisos, you don't take from each fruit individually. You have a barrel of fruit, and you take out whatever amount you have to take out. So he says, when you're taking an orange, so you're taking, let's say you have 10 oranges, and you're taking one orange on behalf of all the oranges, but the orange has a peel around it, and that's part of your 10%. But the peel, compared to the other oranges, is minarola yofa. You don't eat peel, you eat orange. So why is it not a problem? So he explains very beautifully. He says, what is the case in our Gemara? Our Gemara, we have really two distinct types of items. We have groigris and we have tainim. So the halach is that you're not allowed to take minarola yofa when you have two different types of items. Minayofa alarola, you are allowed to take. But here we're not taking oranges on apples. We're taking oranges for oranges. The halach minarola yofa doesn't apply. So the Gemara begins to analyze the brice that we just quoted. Amamar. We just learned, tarim and tainim al groigris, b'malkim shirigilim la sustainim groigris. So what is pshat in the braisa? Because b'malkim shirigilim in, only because the tainim can easily be turned into groigris. However, b'malkim sh'ein regilim, if it's a place where the tainim cannot be easily made into groigris, this halacha would not apply. Because maybe the kohen wants groigris, and how is he going to get them? Ask the Gemara, let's continue to drill down with this braisa. Hey Chitami, what exactly is the circumstances that this Bryce is speaking to? Idik a kohen, if there is a kohen available, makom shein rogel amai loy. Even if it's not easily made into groigris, why is the halacha that you can't take tainim for groigris? V'tanan, makom shiyesh kohen, if there is a kohen available, tayim and a yofa, and the tainim are the yofa compared to the groigris. El pshita. How must we understand this braisa, says the Gemara, the lack of kohen. That there is no kohen. And since there is no kohen here, you can't call the ta'anim yofa, because the ta'anim will get spoiled, and the groigris who are dry won't get spoiled. And therefore, only if the ta'anim can easily be turned into groigris, the fact that there is no kohen is not a problem, because just turn it into groigris. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Let's learn the safe of this braisa. But to take groigris on behalf of tainim, you may not. And vafilu, it's even in a place where makom shrogel lasas tainim groigris. Even though people do make tainim into groigris in this place, asking her why. Vi de leka koyin, if there's no koyin here, so taking groigris on behalf of tainim is gavaldik, because the koyin, if you give him fresh figs. By the time he comes, they'll all be spoiled. By taking groigris on his behalf, you're doing him a tremendous chesed. But none, and in fact, this is something that the Mishnah in Masechta Truma says explicitly. Malkum she'ein shem kohen, where there is no kohen currently available, toyim and amaskayim. You should take off Truma from something that's going to last. The groigris, and not from the fresh figs. El pshita, how must we explain that the bride, what must we say the bride is teaching us? Dikka kohen. That there is a kohen available. So when is there a halacha you could take groigris on tainim only when there is no kohen available? So there, get the groigris, put it away, so he'll have something when he arrives. But here there's a kohen available. Don't give him the inferior groigris, give him the superior tainim. That's the Gemara. If that's the way we understand the braisa, we have a real problem. Reisha, we explained, is referring to a case, the lack of kohen. Sefer, we're saying, is referring to a case where there is a kohen available. The same very braisa. Isn't that a terrible inconsistency? Says the Gemara, there is no way to understand the braisa otherwise. In Reish, the lack of kohen, we have to explain that the Reish is referring to a case where there is no kohen. Sefer, we're referring to a case, the Ikka kohen. Says the Gemara, just to introduce one concept. Our Gemara just quoted a Mishnah Masechet Trumas. The Mishnah Masechet Trumas says that you should, only if there is no kohen available, only if there's a kohen available, do you not take from the groigris on the tainim. If there is no kohen available, take groigris. There's a different opinion in Masechta Trumas. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that I don't care if there's a kohen or there's not a kohen. Groigris is inferior to tzmukim. You can never take minarol yofa. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, we have to read this into Gemara, Why do we have to say that the Sefer is referring to a case? Why do we have to say that the Sefer is referring to a case with the Kayin? You could say there is no Kayin. If there's no Kayin, why can't you take Grigris? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds you can never take inferior product for superior product, no matter what the circumstances are. So it's a very easy way of explaining the Braisa. The Reisha and the Sefer, the Lek Kayin, and the Reisha represents the opinion of Tanakama, and the Sefer represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't the Gemara give that teretz? Says the Gemara, Mari the good point. Omra Papa, Shmamino, Duchkinen Umakim Nemesnisnan betray Tami. We'd rather have a situation where we learn the Mishnah, when we learn the Braisa, with an inconsistency that was saying that the Reisha is referring to Lek Kayin. And the Sefer is talking about Ikakoyin, we'd rather explain it with an inconsistent case than to make a machloikus, unless the machloikus is explicit in the Braisa. So we just quoted a very fundamental machloikus, and it really speaks to the heart of the matter, about Tarmim min ha-ro'a ala yofa, which we just explained the machloikus, if it makes sense to take min ha-ro'a ala yofa. Let's review the case. Where there is no kain available. So even a groigris is the raw, but it makes sense to take the groigris because the kain will tell he comes, if you give him to Einim, it'll all be spoiled. What should you do? Tanakama says, take the long-lasting item, the groigris. Yehuda says, take the Einim. You always have to take the yofa. What is the machlokes all about? It's a beautiful verse from the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav says, why, when we say that you can't take min ha-ro'a ala yofa, what is the issue min ha-ro'a ala yofa? He says there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is that the hafrosha, the actual maisa hafrosha, when you took min ha-ro'a ala yofa, is an invalid hafrosha. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it has nothing to do with the hafrosha. It has to do with the nesina to the kayin. We want the kayin to receive a quality item. So now we can understand the machlokes very well. If we're learning that min ha-ro'a ala yofa is an inadequate hafrosha, it doesn't make a difference what the circumstances are. It's not a ma'isa hafrosha, and you have to be mafresh, trumas and ma'isras. If we learn it's a din in the sinas kayin, so here it's to the kayin's benefit to get the raw, and therefore you're allowed to give him the raw. But we really take this issue a step further. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is what's relevant, b'zman hazeh. Unfortunately, not b'zman hazeh, we don't know who really kohanim are. We certainly don't have kohanim tahirim. But the dins of trumas and ma'isras still very much are applicable to produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael. So what do they do in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? What they do is, when they have fruits and vegetables, produce growing in Eretz Yisrael, they take off from the inferior product that's going to go to the garbage anyway. And that's what they designate as the trumas and ma'isras. But after learning al sugya, how do we understand? It's min ha-ro'a ala yofa. But taking if you're ever in Eretz Yisrael in a field, you'll see they take the most spoiled fruits and vegetables as the trumas and ma'isras. Why don't we have an issue of ro'a ala yofa? Shulchan Aruch already discusses this. So if we learn, like the Brisker Rav explained, that it's not a din in the hafrosha, it's a din in the nesina, it's no problem, because there's no nesina b'zman hazeh, because we're not giving it to a kain anyway. So it seems that the Shulchan Aruch, after we learned the Brisker Rav, is clearly paskening that the din of ro'a ala yofa is a din in the Sina. But if you look in the Gra, on the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra says a very, very interesting point. He says, nowadays there's no Ra and Yafa. Everything is Ra. Because since you can't give anything to a Kayin, it doesn't ever get the designation of Ra and Yafa. Ra and Yafa is only passable when you have a theoretical situation where the Kayin can get something. In a situation where the Kayin is, we know there is nobody's going to get anything, everything is considered Ra, or everything is considered Yafa, no matter how you want to look at it, and if it's not a problem, not Ra'al or Yafa. Begins the Mishnah, we go back to Masechta Menachos. Kol Menachos Nilayshis B'Paishim. All Menachos are needed when we make the dough, they use warm, lukewarm water. So there are a number of points to be made here. Why is water used? We don't find that the Torah speaks about using water in the Mincha. So the answer is that in a regular carbon mincha, and we'll discuss this more in this perek still, the ratio of flour to oil, there's very little oil. There just isn't enough oil to make a flour. So you have to have water to make it into a dough. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn, the Torah teaches us there's an obligation to use, to be shomer, to make sure that the milcha doesn't become chametz. If you don't use water, you can't fulfill that obligation. So since we have an obligation to be shomer, that it doesn't become chametz, you have to create the circumstances where it could become chametz. How could the circumstances be created where it could become chametz? By using lukewarm water. But the Rishonim go on to explain. You can't use hot water, because if you're going to use hot water, it's just going to scald, it's just going to burn the dough. It's going to burn the flour. If you use cold water, you're just going to get a lumpy dough. Lukewarm water is perfect, but as I just said, lukewarm water is also the water that makes the flour most susceptible to becoming chametz. That's why in a matzah bakery, you'll never see lukewarm water. There's an interesting vart from Rameh Shapiro in a tshuva. Interesting vart. He says there's a whole different reason. He says the only water that's machshir of food, lekabolas tuma, is cold water. So you don't want to use cold water because cold water is going to be machshir your flour, lekabolas tuma. It's a very big chiddush. The Midrash David brings a machloikis. If the water that you use has to be water that's kadosh, water that was magdish, or any water is fine. And there's also machlokas rishonim, exactly at what point this water is introduced. Before, we spoke at the beginning of Masechta about Belila. Is the water introduced before the Belila, or is the water introduced after the Belila? So again, we go back to the Mishnah. You have to be careful that they don't become chametz, as I just explained. Now the Mishnah teaches us, that's about the actual Karban Mincha. But now the Mishnah teaches us another din. If the shirayim become chametz, that means you already have the mincha, but now you have the shirayim which go to the kohen, they become chametz. Over below, sasei shenemar kol a mincha shetakriv l'Hashem l'sasa chametz. You're not allowed to make even the shirayim into chametz. This is a beautiful vart. The Karen Oyer and the Sfas Emes say the exact same, make the exact same point. If you learn this mishnah, there's two difficulties in understanding the din that we just learned. On one hand, the obvious difficulty is, once the mincha is shirayim, it's already a baked item. Something that's baked can't become chametz anymore. So what's the Mishnah said, that the shirayim, if the shirayim become chametz, the shirayim can't become chametz, it's already too late. Something can become chametz when it's a dough. One issue. Another deek that they make is, the Mishnah begins b'loshen rabim, kol menachos, all menachos. And then the Mishnah goes into a Lashon Yachid. Hechmitzu shireh by one Karban Mincha. Well, how do we understand this change of tense? So they both say a beautiful word. They say, absolutely, all Karban Minchas, Minchas Machlas and Minchas Nacheshes, and something that's baked, once it's ready in the state of Shirayim, it can't become Chametz anymore. But our Mishnah is talking about a Minchas Soilus. What's a Minchas Soilus? Minchas Soilus is never baked. So the Mishnah begins with Karban Minchas, before they're baked. And then the Mishnah goes to Lashon Yochid, because we're only talking about one type, the Mincha Soilus. Furthermore, and we're going to speak about this then immediately in the Gemara, for each of these acts in the baking of the Mincha Yechayiv, if you let it become Chametz. There's a beautiful Vart from Dar Sumeach. Dar Sumeach says that by all Kabbanis, we find that the Torah teaches us Kahanim Oichlim, or Baalim Meskaprim. We don't find halachas regarding the food that's eaten. Once the food is eaten, the Kohanim have rules. They could only eat it in certain places, a certain amount of time, but not how it should be prepared. Here we find that you're not even allowed to make the shirayim into chametz. So he says, very bechiddush, he says, achila shirayim of a karban mincha is in a much higher level than the achila of any other kabanis. And the two beautiful rayas to this concept. We learn Pashas V'Yikra. Pashas V'Yikra speaks about all the Kabbanis. Pashas Tzav teaches us the halachas about the eating of the Kabbanis. Except the halacha of eating the Karban Mincha. The eating of the Karban Mincha is in Pashas V'Yikra. Why? The Torah is teaching us the eating of the Karban Mincha is like the akrova, not like the achil of other Kabbanis. And therefore, it's kept in Pashas V'Yikra, not in Pashas Tzav. And if you look in the Rambam, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he speaks about Achilas Kabbanis, he separates the Achil of all Kabbanis into one mitzvah and the Achil of Mincha into another mitzvah. Because according to the way we're learning, it's very gishmak. Achilas Mitzvah is a whole different level. Achilas Mincha is a whole different level. Begins the Gemara. Menani Mili, how do we know that there's a the halach is that you're not allowed to let the shirayim become chametz. Amr shlokish tamakra, the pasuk says leisafek chametz chalkam. I feel chalkam, even the part that's left as shirayim, leisafek chametz may not make chametz. Ask the Gemara. Is that what we learn out of this pasuk? Don't we need this to teach us another halacha? The pasuk says, "Lo safek chametz." What does the Torah have to say? "Lo safek chametz." Ask the Braisa. Ma tam loimer v'lo kva namer. Is there not already a pasuk that teaches us "Lo safek chametz"? You know how to make the karmin minchin to chametz. Answers the Braisa. L'fisha namer lo safek chametz. The Torah tells us "Lo safek chametz." Yoch lo yechayev ela achas akulay. And the Rishonim have two primary ways of understanding this line. One way of learning it is that maybe the Isra making a Karim Minchin to Chametz is only prior to it being Chametz. But once it's Chametz already, there is no Isra. We'll discuss this more in tomorrow's shiur. One way of learning. Another way of learning is maybe you would not be Chai if you did number of acts in baking the Karim Mincha and making a Chametz. You only be Chai if one Malkus four of them. How do we know there's separate malchus for every individual act? Tamaloima, that's why the Torah singles out Loisalfa. Afir b'chlal chaysa. Afir is in the category of Loisasa. Lama yotzis. Why did the Torah separate it out? Lahakishalea. To teach us. Ma afir miyuchedah shimas yechidi. It's an individual significant act. And the Torah says that yechayiv aleh b'fnei atzma. Af ani avi, so too will be the halacha. Lavi lishosoi farichosa, kneading it, shaping it, the komas yechidishba, and the Gemara right away jumps. What does komas yechidishba mean? Lasuya kituf, nachlokes rishonim what kituf exactly is. Some rishonim explain kituf is that after you make a dough, what they typically do is they put on it a coating of water, one pshat, and I saw in the rishonim. Another pshat I saw in the rishonim is that when you have a dough, you see this in the matzah bakeries, they take the dough and they make it into small pieces that they're going to need. They don't need the whole big dough. They turn it, they chop it up into small pieces. So the Gemara's question, coming back to our sugya, is how could you say that the pasuk of Leisafek Chametz is coming to teach us the halacha that this chayiv of make, there's an iser to make the shirayim chametz? Don't we need this pasuk to teach us this halacha? Answers the Gemara. Anan mechalkin kaminim. The reason we explain that there's a chiyuv by the shrayim is because we're focused on the word, not on the words lo safa, we're focused on the word chalkam. Ask the Gemara, v'emekula hachadasa. Maybe the pasuk is speaking only about the kaimitz, not about the shrayim. Answers the Gemara. On the contrary, maybe the pasuk is only speaking about the shrayim, that all of these halakhas only apply by the shrayim, not by the kaimitz. Answers the Gemara. If that was what the pasuk were teaching us, imkein lichtav chelkam leisafek chametz. The Torah should have said, chelkam, I'm speaking about the shrayim, and I'm teaching you about the shrayim leisafek chametz, that every significant act carries with it a lav. The fact that the Torah said it in the other order, the reversed order, my loisafek chametz chelkam, sham natarti, we learned two halachas. What are the two halachas? One halacha is, from the word loisafek chametz, that for every significant act, you make chametz in the kaimitz, and so too will be the halacha, but ishrayim, yechayiv, one din, and chelkam comes to teach us that not only may the kaimitz not become chametz, but so too may the ishrayim not become chametz. Ask the Gemara, the Ema, but perhaps the way to understand the pasuk is as fear, as follows. Afia, the parbra, rachmana, the Torah singles out afia. So indeed we'll say that even if all you just did was bake this chametz, l'chayiv chada, l'chayiv malchus for doing an afia's chametz. Inach, however, all the other activities that the Braisa identified, l'chayiv chada kula. Who says l'chayiv for every one of those activities, a separate lav, a separate malchus, maybe a fear is one act, and everything else is combined into another lav, not that every single act carries with it its own lav. Answers the Gemara, Mishum davashayab klal, v'yotzman a klal alamit, lo alamit atzmi yotza, Those of us that say the Brayis of Rishmol every day are familiar with this. What's the klal? We started. The pasuk says loisasa. That includes all activities. And then the Torah singled out one activity. Which activity? Loisasa. Something that was in the klal, in the entire group. The yatsim klal alamed, and left the group. Didn't have to teach us only about itself. That every significant activity carries within its own chiyuv lav. Ask the Gemara, who says to learn the pasuk this way? Maybe the way to understand the Gemara, the pasuk is like this: loisas is a klal, loisaof is a prat, and in the same brisa of Rabbi Shmuel we have the rule prat klal prat, and bechlal amash beprat, and therefore we'll learn afir in. And only a fear will be usur if you make it into chametz. Nothing else will be usur. So basically what the Gemara is asking is we have two different types of limudim that we could apply here. And the Gemara's challenge is which is the correct one. Do we apply the klal? And that would mean that for everything yechayiv, for every activity yechayiv a separate lav. Or do we apply the rule of klal prat, em klal amash befrat, a fee in midachrin aloy? That's where we're up to. Interesting, Rashba. The Rashba says, you know, if you start thinking about it, why does the Torah have to have a klal prat? The Torah should have just said a prat. And if the Torah would have just said the prat, we would have said a fee in, nothing else. So the Rashba says, this is relevant to Gan Shas. So the Rashba says a beautiful teretz. If we wouldn't have a klal prat, we just had the prat alone, we could use the prat as a model. We could use it as a binyan af. Only because it's a klal prat does the Torah teach us this in, this yes, nothing else. Amar Rav Apartaki, says Rav Apartaki, you know why you don't apply over here the rule of klal prat? Shouldn't have a klal prat and ruchakim zeh mizeh. The pasuk of loisasa is a pasuk in Parashas Vayikra. The pasuk of Leisof is a pasuk in Parashat Tzav. And even if we have a rule throughout Shas of Klal Prat, Ein B'Klal Amash B'Prat, Klal Prat and Merchokim Zeh Mizeh, when they're not next to each other, they call Klal Prat and Merchokim Zeh Mizeh, Ein Donim Oysa B'Klal Prat. And the Sfasemis has a beautiful explanation as to why. He says, because we have a rule, Ein Mugdim Amuch B'Torah. And if a pasuk is here, in Parshas Vayikra, and then the pasuk is here in Parshas Tzav, we don't know which is the klal and which is the prat. And we have to understand the Sfasemis a little better. But the Sfasemis is saying is like this. If we have one parsha, so there, even if there's a rule, Eim Mugdim Amuch B'Torah, the order within one parsha is very specific. And if we have a klal prat, it follows the rules of klal prat. But when we have the two psukim so distant from each other, combined with the fact of Ein Mugdim B'Chuk B'Torah, we can't apply the rule of Klal Prat, Ein B'Klal Amash B'Frat. Rather, which rule do we apply? Kol Dov She B'Klal V'Yotzman HaKlal Lamed, Lo Lamed Al-Atzman Yotza, Ela Lamed Al-Klal Kula Yotza. Ask the Gemara, is this indeed correct? Moser V'Ada Barhava, V'Amelik Di, V'Klal Prat Amruchokim Zeh Mizeh, with the net next to each other, Ein Doinan Oysa B'Klal Prat, is that indeed correct? V'Tanya, let's learn a brisa. We recall Masech Tahiris. The Gemara spoke in Masech Tahiris, it's Psukim, about a Nasi, a Melech, who does an Aveira, for which if we would do that Aveira, we would be a Karban Chatas. A regular Karban Chatas that's brought by Yochid, is a, which animal is brought? A Kizba or a Seira. What animal is brought by a Nasi who does such an Aveira? He brings a Sawyer. So the pasuk says regarding that carbon, v'shachat oisav v'makam ashiyishchet oila lefnei Hashem chatasu hechen oila nishchetes. Where is an oila slaughtered? B'tzofen afzer b'tzofen. This should also be brought b'tzofen. Beautiful word from the Shem Shmuel. Why indeed is a carbon chatas slaughtered in the same place as a carbon oila? He says like this. He says, why does somebody bring a carbon oil? We've learned Masech Tzvachim. We said many times in Masech Tzvachim that the reason a person brings a carbon oil is because he had a machshava. He didn't do any act. He just had an intent, a machshava to do an aveira. When is a chatas brought? A chatas is brought when somebody does an aver b'shoigig. So the question is, how does a Jew come to do an aver b'shoigig? Heilig neshama, holy neshamas. The answer is the Jew must have had a machshava to do an avera. He quickly decided not to do the avera, but it isn't enough to prevent him from doing the avera b'shoigig. So it turns out that every chatas emanates from a machshava. And a machshava, oil is brought b'tzofen. Hechen oil in the shchetes b'tzofen. Avze b'tzofen. Continues the braisa. The chi on mechanel made him. Is this the source for this halacha? Doesn't the pasuk say b'makom shetishachin ha'olah tishachas achatas halamaza yotza? What is the pasuk coming to teach us? Not just that you should shecht the betzafin lekava shem la'shachin ha'isa betzafin. If you didn't shecht the betzafin pasli, it's disqualified. Says the brayser at oimer lekach yotza. Is that what the pasuk teaches us? Maybe the way to understand the pasuk is that only the chatus of the nasi requires tzofen, then achar ton tzofen. No other karmic chatus requires tzofen. Tamalayma, there's another pasuk. This is a shachras oila, chatus of makam oila, zebnei av. This comes to teach us lechol chatus tunis tzofen. Makes the Gemara its point. Tama, the kasa rechman of shachras chatus. Because we just had the pasuk that we quoted, that's why we know that all chatas are done b'tzofen. Halav hachi, if not for that, we would have assumed that maybe shezeh ton tzofen, that only the chatas of the nasi requires tzofen, v'enach ton tzofen. No other karmic chatas. How would we come to make this assumption? My tam alam mishum dava klal prat. Because we'd say the first pasuk is a klal, that it should come to teach us that everything is done b'tzofen, and that we have a prat, that it's the chatas of a nasi, and then b'klal el b'frat, and we would say that it's only the chatas nasi. So we see that we say klal prat, even though the two psukim are distant from each other. Maskel of Ravashi, says Ravashi, if you think about it, hai klal pratu, the klal doesn't come before the prat. On the contrary, this is a situation of prat or klal hu, v'nasa klal moisav el prat, v'srabalu kol ma'alan. So that's why there's no question that it refers to all karmic chatas. So if so, we have a difficult braisa. The first comes the karmic chatas of the nasi, and then we have the chatas of everybody. So now the question is, so if that's the case, that it's a prat uklal, the nasa klal moisvel prat, so why was there a havamina? Not just a havamina. The Gemara quoted a pasuk of a shachat ois chatas b'makoim to teach us that all karmic chatas require tzofen. Why would I have a havamina different if it's a prat uklal? It says the Gemara, al tana oisuk kashale, because in the pasuk there's the word oisai, v'achikamale. Because in the pasuk, let me just read the words of the pasuk. The words of the pasuk are the samach yada al roish asar. V'shachat oisai, oisai, b'makom sheyishchet es oil lefnei Hashem chatasu. And we know wherever the Torah uses the words oisai, it's a miyut. And that's what the Gemara says. V'achkamer. Maybe the Torah, when it uses the parsha, when it speaks about the parsha of Sar Nasi, and uses the words oisai, ena el shezer ton tzofa, that maybe only the Sar Nasi should be done with tzofen. Ve'en achet ton tzofa, no other karmic chatas. So the reason why we need this pasuk is because the Torah tells us the word oisai, which could have misled us to believe that all karmic chatas don't need tzofen. But now ask the Gemara Davi's question. That the pasuk with shachar sachatas indeed teaches us that all karmic chatas have to be tzofen. So we just identify the word oisai in the parasha of the Sar of Nasi. What does it come to teach us? Ois lamuti mai. Says the Gemara lamuti nachshem shachat oif pesach simen. To teach us the halacha, oisa b'tzofen, that only the sar of the nasi requires tzofen, vein sar nachshon tzofen. We've discussed many times that the nasiim, when the Mishkan was inaugurated, for the first 12 days, from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, every day brought a whole series of kabbonis. One of the kabbonis was a karmic chatas, and that the nachshon's chatas did not require tzofen. Because, says the Gemara, sakadat ha'chamina, ha'yav v'srabis linyat smicha. Even just like the halacha is, that the sor of Nachshon, it's called Nachshon, because Nachshon was the first shevet that brought. Just like that chatas required smicha. L'srabi nami linyan sofen, so too it should require sofen, like all other carbon chatas, kamash malon, that even though normally a carbon chatas requires sofen, this carbon chatas did not require sofen. Ask Maran, Mesficha Guf Manola. And from where indeed do we know that the Sor Nachsh required smicha? The Tanya, because the Pasuk says, V'samach Yodoy Arosha Sawyer, the Rabbis Sor Nachsh L'smicha, the Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon Amma, Rabbis Sir Avosh Kachavim L'smicha. So according to Shimon, we still have a problem, which will be the Gemara. So right now, what are we learning? Right now, the way we're understanding, at least certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk, the word Oysai, that the Torah uses by the Sor of Anasi, is coming to teach us that all Karban Chatas indeed required Tzofen, but the Sor of Nachshon ben Aminadav, even though it was a Chatas, did not require Tzofen. So ask the Mashal Chachma, indeed, why? So he says a beautiful word. He says, what does the word Tzofen mean? The word Tzofen means hidden. So he says as follows. He says, why does the Torah want Karbanos to be brought in the Tzofen? Torah wants Karbanos to be brought in the Tzofen because what is hidden? We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid the Afer of Yitzchak, Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Rashi says it in Parashas V'yera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to remember Yitzchak's Mesiris Nefesh. So when a Jew brings a Karban, bring it with Tzofen, reminding Hashem that you're a descendant of Yitzchak Avinu, who was the first person that was ready to be Meisen Nefesh for Hashem. Nachman Aminadav was a Meisen Nefesh in himself. He jumped into the water. So he doesn't need the Schus of Yitzchak of Mesiris Nefesh. He doesn't need Tzofen.